Well, hi there, everybody. Welcome once again to the 4130 Show. This is Pastor AJ coming to you from South Granville Church. And I want to say thank you for joining us as we kind of wrap up our series today, looking at the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. So today we're talking about the fruit of self-control, something that I think all of us would love to possess more of. Whether you are somebody who wants to do better with finances, somebody who wants to respond differently to your children or people in your family, whether you are trying to eat healthier or exercise, whether you simply want to resist temptation, all of us would benefit from having self-control. And in many ways, I think the fruit of self-control is kind of the fruit that's behind all these other fruit. Because in order to be patient, in order to be gentle, in order to choose to love people when they're being difficult, that requires self-control. That requires a level of mastery over our feelings and emotions in order to respond the way that we actually want to, rather than letting our feelings and emotions get the best of us in the moment. And so when we talk about the fruit of self-control, I think we are talking about the sanctification process more broadly. And if you're not familiar with that term, sanctification is kind of a fancy seminary word for describing the process of becoming like Jesus. When we place our faith in Christ, there are two things that happen. One, we are justified. We are saved and forgiven of all of our sins, past, present, and future. But then at the same time, we are also being sanctified. We're being made holy or Christ-like as we become the people that God always intended us to be, as sin is kind of stripped out of our minds and our hearts, and we become more like Jesus. And so growing in self-control is about becoming more like Christ, being able to say no to sin and temptation, having control over our emotional responses, and being able to respond the way God would want us to, no matter what the situation is that we're dealing with. And the thing about sanctification is that it is really a partnership between us and God. As we have said throughout this series, you and I cannot hope to grow in the fruit of the Spirit on our own. We recognize our dependence. We recognize that these things are gifts from the Holy Spirit, that He is at work within us. And so if we want to grow in the fruit of self-control, one of the most important things we can do is to recognize our dependence on God and ask for His help. The pastor and author John Piper has a great article about self-control on his website, Desiring God, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But I want to just read you this paragraph that is full of scripture references because I think it's really helpful for remembering that if we want to become more self-controlled, we have to ask for God's help. So Piper says this: "Fundamental to the Christian view of self-control is that it is a gift. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. How do we strive against our fatal desires? Well, Paul answers, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. He agonizes by the power of Christ, not his own." Similarly, he tells us, "If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." We must be fierce, yes, but not by our might. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Now, again, there's a number of scripture references in that paragraph, but the overall idea is that if we want to grow in self-control, we have to remember our dependence on God. But then the flip side of sanctification, the other piece, is that God also expects us to put some work in as well. That we don't just kind of magically become people that God wants us to be. We have to do some work. We have to strive against sin and temptation. We also have to recognize our agency and work as best as we can in order to rid our lives of what is impure and, again, live into the calling that God has placed on our lives. And so, yes, it is a gift, but it is also something that we can pursue. And maybe it's helpful to think of it this way, that you and I are maybe not able to grow the fruit ourselves, but we can cultivate the soil, right? We can put down good fertilizer. We can make sure that the plants are watered. We can make sure that the conditions are right so that God can grow this fruit within us. And so when we think about growing in self-control and what we can control in that process, I think one of the most important things to remember is that we are limited beings with finite resources. And that's really true when you think about willpower or self-control. Many scholars and people who have studied this believe that willpower is like a muscle, that it can grow and it can get stronger, but it also gets fatigued the more we use it. And so you and I don't have an infinite supply of self-control. And the more that we use it or spend it on certain things, the less we're going to have available to deal with the other things at the end of the day. And so I think this explains a lot of our experiences. You might be able to, you know, respond to your kids or write a patient email to your coworker at 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. But if you got the same message at 6 o'clock at night or when your kids are struggling to stay in bed, you feel like you just don't have the same capacity to respond to them the way that you want to, right? Your willpower has been exhausted throughout the day. That's why we often fail at eating healthy or exercising at nighttime, right? Because at the end of the day, when you're tired and worn out, it is so much harder to say no to Ben and Jerry's or to get yourself over to the gym because you have used that willpower on all these other things. And so one of the best things we can do to grow in self-control is to practice good self-care. And that's something we've been talking about throughout this series. But if you picture, you know, a tank of gas, the more you can keep it topped off, the more you can be frequently filling it, the farther you're going to be able to go, especially when things get tough. And so if I am eating well, sleeping well, trying to reduce stress in the ways that I can, I'm going to have more resources available to respond to different situations the way that I know God wants me to. But when I'm worn down, when I am dealing with a lot of really difficult things, when I'm not taking good care of myself, not eating, not sleeping, I often respond in a more sinful way. Then I'm a lot less patient, then I'm a lot less gracious, and I struggle to practice self-control. And so it's important to take care of ourselves, to give ourselves a fighting chance to respond the way that we want to. But I think another part of acknowledging our limitations also means admitting that we can't deal with everything all at once. So maybe as you think about the topic of self-control, you're thinking about your life and you're thinking, man, I want to eat better, and I want to be a better steward of my finances, and I want to be a more gracious boss, and, you know, I want to start having better quiet times in the morning, and, you know, on and on and on. Any of us could probably point to a number of things that we would love to work on. But again, because your willpower, your self-control is this kind of finite resource, you're not going to be able to do that. You can't address every single issue all at once. And if you do, you're just going to end up burning yourself out and getting frustrated and disappointed. And so I think part of our reflection on the topic of self-control is to spend some time with God and ask for his help in setting priorities. Maybe I can think of a half a dozen things that I would love to be working on. But if I think about it and pray about it, what are the one or two things that are most important? What is it that God says, this is key right now in your life? This is what I really want you to be focused on. maybe we'd even be surprised. Maybe if we bring that to God in prayer, we'll find that we feel led to pursue something that wasn't even on our list or at the top of our list. But when we see things from God's perspective, we're able to say, okay, right now, at this stage in my life, with these responsibilities, this is the most important thing for me to get under control. And so I think this week, spending some time making a hierarchy, saying, all right, I'm going to focus on these two things, and maybe in a month or two, I'll be able to come back and address the next one, and allow yourself to take things one step at a time. Now, one other resource that I want to share when it comes to self-control is a book that I found extremely helpful, and it's a book called Atomic Habits by the author James Clear. Now, this is a great book. It is very much focused on our effort and our half of the equation when it comes to sanctification. But I think there's a lot of really good insight and a lot of really good perspective in that book. Because in the book, Clear wants us to focus not so much on our goals or our objectives, but on our processes, what he calls our systems. Because if we can make slow, gradual changes to our systems and the ways that we make decisions, if we can gradually develop small habits over time, the impact is going to snowball. And slowly but surely, we're going to start to see the results that we're hoping for. And so maybe a good analogy for this, if you are focused on physical health, I think James Clear would say, don't worry so much about what the scale says or your pant size. He would say, focus more on your habits and your processes. What are the steps that you're taking to be a healthier person? What are you eating? What are you doing for exercise? How are you developing these habits? And if you focus on those, then the results are going to come eventually. But the most important thing to be focused on are the steps that we're taking or the decisions that we're making on a daily basis. And in the book, he tells a story about England's national cycling team. The team had been bad for years. They had never won the Tour de France. And so they got a new coach in the 2000s who began to overhaul the program little bits at a time. His slogan was that we want to get 1% better every day. And so they started making these really small little changes that over time began to add up. They changed the way that they were cleaning their equipment. They changed, little adjustments in their training. They changed the mattresses that the athletes were sleeping on. They just made all of these little adjustments. And slowly but surely, those changes added up to something greater, and the team was able to finally win. And so I think in our own lives, that kind of mentality is really helpful. You might want to stop getting angry in any and all situations, but maybe that's not very realistic right now. Instead, if you can focus on getting 1% better, slowly learning how to make good decisions, slowly learning how to manage those emotions, then over time, the results will be there. But you'll be a lot less discouraged if you're focused on the process and the habits that you're forming rather than trying to instantaneously get those results. Now, there's some other helpful stuff in the book. And again, we'll have a link to that in the show notes. But one other thing that I think is important for us as Christians is to be thinking about our environment and the inputs that we're allowing into our lives. And again, this is something we've talked about with some of the other fruit of the Spirit. But we are going to be motivated, I think, to be more self-controlled when we are around other people that we admire, that we look up to, people who are making choices and decisions that we want to make for ourselves. You can read all of the information that you want. You can know in your head what the right thing is. For many of us, that's not as compelling or motivating as simply being around somebody who's living the lifestyle or responding to others the way that we want to. So this is, I think, an advantage for a church like South Granville, where I know many of us have long-term relationships with one another and really can get to know each other well. And this is part of the reason why we think small groups are so valuable, because you can listen to me and you can open scripture for yourself, but there's something really powerful that happens when we are pursuing God together, where you get to see how God is at work in somebody else's life, and you see how they are embodying what it means to be Jesus here in the same context and life that you're living as well. And so surrounding yourself with positive examples, being with people who are also pursuing God, limiting media and inputs that are going to make you feel, you know, more angry or more hostile or make you want to do things that are not really in line with God's will. All of those little choices are also going to add up and help you practice self-control more faithfully and more consistently. So there's lots and lots of good stuff in the book. I would highly recommend taking a look. It's short, it's easy, and there are things in there that are very, very simple, but also very applicable for the life of believers. So as we kind of wrap up this series as a whole, again, I hope that we are not feeling burdened by the high bar that Paul sets for us. To be like Christ is to be like God himself. And I want us to just remember that that is a really challenging call that God has given. But in the end, we've not been left alone to, you know, try to figure it out for ourselves. God gives us his power and he gives us his leading. Each and every day, we have access to the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, now at work within us. And so I hope that you will not feel discouraged or feel like God is asking something from you that is simply not possible. Instead, I hope that you will realize that you can tap into the Spirit's power and slowly but surely begin to cultivate all of the fruit of the Spirit as you pursue a relationship with God and become more and more like Jesus. So this week, I want to invite you to spend some time reflecting on what it means to grow in self-control, and I want to invite you to join me as we pray for God to reveal his will for us as we go into these coming days. Let's pray. God, we thank you that in studying the fruit of the Spirit, we have been reminded of who you are and what Jesus is like. We thank you for his kindness and faithfulness to sinners like us. And we thank you that in your mercy, you have given us access to your Holy Spirit, which shapes us and changes us and makes us more like you. Father, we acknowledge our sin and our limitations. We acknowledge that we can't just will ourselves to be better people. We are asking for help today, that you will help us to grow in all of the fruit of the Spirit. That we will be people who can say no to temptation, who can resist the impulse to lash out in anger or anxiety, and instead that we can be people whose speech and action is marked by both grace and truth. Would you give us wisdom? Would you give us power? And would you give us patience with the process as we seek to remove sin from our hearts and become more and more like Jesus? And we thank you, Lord, for the incredible privilege of being in relationship with you and being your representatives and ambassadors here in Granville and wherever we may be listening. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and to continue to pursue you wholeheartedly each and every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray all of these things. Amen. Well, friends, it has been a pleasure to work through this series with you. We're going to take the next few weeks off as we kind of retool and explore what we're going to be doing for programming in the fall. We will have some sort of podcast available in the coming weeks, but we're going to take the next couple of weeks in August off. And so I want to say thank you so much for listening. Please continue to share. If you just found this episode, we've got a whole long back catalog that you can listen to. And again, I just want to say thank you for your support and your prayers as we navigate this challenging season here at South Granville. As always, if you've got something you want to talk about or pray about, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. And you can continue to watch our Sunday morning live streams as well. We've got a YouTube channel for South Granville CRC, and you can visit our website, southgranvillechurch.org. Well, friends, it's been a pleasure. I hope you have a great rest of your summer, and we will see you again in a few weeks. Thanks for listening.